The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, it was peak sport watching at any time of the year. Wimbledon starting today. We had the Curragh's Derby. We had the Dog Derby in Britain. But it was really the Euros and the GAA football quarterfinals that caught the eye. Kathleen McNamee of Off the Ball joins me in studio. So, apparently, on Friday on Off the Ball, you predicted in extra time 2-1 to England. Are you a bit of a soothsayer?
I mean, I wish I was, and I wish I got them right more often because that would do me very, very well in life. But I don't know. I just haven't watched England over the last couple of weeks. I felt like any time they've played, they haven't been that exciting. They've been pretty boring. They've
disjointed.
Disjointed. They've scraped through. Totally different to what we saw from them in the last Euros, where they were such a cohesive unit. It didn't feel like you were watching a bunch of individuals. It felt like Gareth Southgate knew what he was doing. And I just had an inkling that it was going to be a really difficult match for them. Slovakia were going to bed in, and that it would take a moment of brilliance for
and
them to get out
match,
the other side.
Slovakia scored first.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I was right in that it was a moment of brilliance. That goal from Jude Bellingham was, I hate to say it, it's the best goal I've ever seen that I didn't want to go in. You know, they were so close. I don't know where the ref pulled 6 minutes of added time from. I would have thought 3-4 absolute max. And then obviously you had the Harry Kane goal as well to add to it. But this England team just wouldn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. But I would worry
they meet Switzerland.
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
Well, good.
I worry now that they've found, because they had that big win and it was, you know, they pulled it out of the depths of nowhere, that now that's going to give them some sort of confidence that they can go on and that they can go on a bit of a run. I do think there are far better teams in the competition at the moment. If you were to pull any good out of it, Maynou's performance was particularly brilliant, and it was great to see a young player like him actually get a proper chance to change the game, because Southgate up until this point has kind of just been throwing players on. And
he hasn't found his best team yet.
Yeah, and only given them maybe like 5-10 minutes to make a difference, which you're never really going to do.
Spain were magnificent last night. Goal down, free-flowing, could have been 6 or 7. They played really well.
Yeah, you had a real sense of deja vu whenever Georgia scored first and you were thinking, is this going to be like the game before? But no, Spain were just, as you say, magnificent, fluid football. The complete opposite to what we had just seen from England, and exactly what you're supposed to do when you're a team at the top level to when you go a goal down against what is like lesser opposition and England.
Who do they meet next?
I'm not entirely sure who they have next. I think it depends on some of the results that are coming out over the next couple of days.
Okay, so Germany, I thought, were lucky. There was two crucial VAR decisions to disallow a Danish goal, and then they got a penalty, which was a handball right on the edge of the box. Like it was a tough call on them. It looked like a bit of a home decision. Michael Oliver, I think, was the referee.
Yeah, it did look a little bit like that. But also, I think Germany are probably more worth their salt going into the next round than Denmark.
Okay, so today we have two matches. A really good match. France, who have underperformed, but they have Mbappe back. And Belgium, who on their day can beat anyone.
Belgium are the strange team where you look at them on paper and you think they should be way better than they actually have performed over the last couple of years. You know,
De Bruyne, Lukaku, Doku.
Some of the best players in the world right now and in their prime as well. And they just haven't hit that golden generation in the way that a lot of Belgians would have liked to have seen them play. But as you say, on their day, they can really string it together. I do think France will still have a bit more than them. I think France's issue, and I said this going into the tournament, my fear was that they had so many superstars in that team, but that it would be too individualistic. And it does feel like that. It feels like they haven't properly come together as a cohesive unit yet, as a proper team. And instead, they're all trying to do their individual moments. So hopefully they can bring it together. My tip ahead of the tournament was France or Spain to win it. At the moment, I would say Spain are looking a little bit more like
Portugal.
A team.
Play Slovenia. Portugal they were upset the last time getting beaten, but they do have potential.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's getting on, but they're good.
Yeah, no, I think like with Portugal, a bit like with any team that Ronaldo plays in, sometimes they're a tad dependent on him, and he doesn't necessarily make the team better. He's one of those players that he can almost suck a lot of oxygen out of a team and needs a very specific type of player around him. And we saw a bit with Manchester United whenever he moved on from there, that when you actually let the other players around him have their moment, the team tends to be a little bit better. So,
turning to the Ga. I thought there was going to be a full house. They said the ticket sales were good. The crowd looked sparse enough both days, Saturday, Sunday, to me.
Yeah, it didn't look good. I didn't see what the actual final attendance figure was, but you would think for the lineups that were there and the fact that there was multiple counties coming up that there would be a fairly big travelling pack. I don't know, were people kind of avoiding Dublin because there was so much going on over the weekend, you know?
So, I suppose the there was four odds on favourites. The upset was Galway beating the Dubs. And on the first half, you thought the Dubs were going all right. Mm. And Galway really pulled it out of the fire and put it out. Now, I think Dublin, I backed them in the league final and they got beaten, I think, by Derry. And again, the Mayo match, they were very poor, really. I mean, I thought the writing was on the wall. This team is, you know, the oldies, it's starting to come against them. Will Desi go? Will there be a big change in Dublin, do you think?
It's funny. I was on with Anton on Friday and I said that Galway on their day could actually do this against Dublin because I looked at that Mayo game as I felt like Mayo were playing at capacity. I didn't think Dublin had hit their capacity yet. I thought they were kind of, you know, playing to get a result, but they could kick it on if they wanted to.
And you think Croke Park factor would have helped them as well?
And you think the Croke Park factor would have helped them as well. But as you were saying, they just looked a bit tired at the weekend. They are in that kind of in-betweeny spot where maybe there's some players there that they need to let go of. There's other players that maybe need to step up a little bit. There's also the tiredness factor, you know, when you've been going at such a high level for so long. But like, full credit to Galway. I mean, that was a sensational performance. I don't know, did you hear the commentary from Galway Bay FM afterwards?
Yeah.
It was just a brilliant moment.
Sweet Jesus, he said. Or something like that. So it was good. So is it Kerry's to lose? Kerry versus Armagh, Donegal, who are really the surprise package in both in Ulster and in the round robin and right through, Donegal versus Galway. I'm sort of thinking it's Kerry's to lose. What do you think?
I think if you were to go into the season, you would say definitely it is Kerry's to lose. But then also watching that game yesterday, it was such...
But that was Derry's fault. They just stacked up the defence.
Yeah.
Like, no. Puke football, here we come.
That is true. I just don't think you can discount Galway or Donegal after the performances that they've put in this season. They both seem to be playing with a renewed sense of energy, you know, positive football. I think Galway, when they have everyone fit, they've been so unlucky with injuries over the last couple of seasons. But if they can keep the likes of Comer and Shane Walsh fit for the next couple of weeks, they'll be in with a massive chance. We've seen what Jim McGuinness has done to this Donegal team. I mean, literally last year we were talking about the whole county imploding because of what was going on behind the scenes and because of what was going on the pitch.
Turnaround.
It is a remarkable turnaround, and that can't be discounted either for Donegal. So I think, if you were to look at it on paper, Kerry, yes, number one at the moment, but also I wouldn't discount either of those.
Yeah. All right. Now, Wimbledon starts today. I was looking at the men's seeds. I thought, I'm a big Novak fan, right? Djokovic fan, I have been for years. I thought his knee injury in Paris meant that he wasn't going to play. But I see the number one seed in the men's is Jannik Sinner, who he has beaten from time to time. Djokovic, Alcaraz, who's the coming force, Zverev, and Medvedev and Rublev and all those things. What takes your eye in the men's side?
I actually covered Wimbledon a couple of years ago, and I remember watching Jannik Sinner then and thinking that he is one of the most exciting players that I'd seen live. In terms of, that was kind of at a stage where Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, all three of them were still on the scene. They weren't dominating necessarily, but they're still not the ones you were counting out, and you were looking at these younger guys coming through. I also really like the look of Alcaraz. I think he is going to be one for the future.
And he won Paris.
Yeah,
in five sets. That was fantastic.
And I say one for the future, obviously he's already there, but like that he's going to go on and be like a kind of decade-long person in there.
Now, in the women's, who do you like? I mean, we have Sabalenka, who is there, but Swiatek, is that, I don't know if that's pronounced right. She's the number one seed.
Yeah, Swiatek's number one seed. She is, I mean, what she has, she's almost quietly achieved her success over the last couple of years. I think the women's game is interesting at the moment because on the men's side, you can kind of see those big characters coming through to take the places of your you know, Nadal,
it's the end of an era
Federer's.
With the big three, yeah.
Yeah, but on the women's side, you know, you had your Serena Williams, then Ash Barty came through. You thought she was going to be the next big one. Osaka as well. I think they're kind of missing that big personality.
Coco Gauff is
she could
is
be. Yeah. She. I think she is going to be the person that potentially carries the women's side of the game over the next couple of years if she can maintain the sort of form that she is in. She's a brilliant player. Again, another one that I saw when she was really, really young. I think she might have been playing in the juniors at that stage. And just one of those players that's very fun to watch. Really, is obvious that she enjoys her tennis, which is something you don't often get to see sometimes. But I feel that there's something about Wimbledon because of the aura of the entire place that
hopefully
players get into.
It'll stop raining. I mean, what a lousy summer we've had. It's so changeable. They do have the roof. I look forward to talking to you on Friday because we'll have the hurling semi-finals.
Mm-hmm.
Kilkenny and Clare and Cork and Limerick. I fancy the old stagers, Limerick and Clare at Kilkenny to get through. All right, thank you so much. I'm told that Spain play Germany next. I fancy Spain to do that. And England are playing Switzerland next Saturday. My thanks to Kathleen for Old McNamee of Off the Ball for all that update. Now, a reminder that all our items on the PK show are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.